Okay, so by now you've probably had an opportunity just to have a look at the new names and the new lineup. But can I just start by saying that the announcement today of the new cabinet reflects, I think, 3 years of hard work in the previous government. It builds on the work of the last 3 years. And it has some clear objectives. It shows that we're going to be emphasising jobs and growth as a big part of the next 3 years. Welfare reform will be very important to the government. We campaigned on that. The reform of public services is an important part of the agenda, making sure that we deliver better public services to New Zealanders. Education remains a very critical focus for us, and of course the rebuild of Christchurch. So along with those areas of emphasis, we want to continue to build on the gains that we achieved in the last 3 years, particularly North Law and Order and Health. Let me just run through a few of the highlights for you and then happy to take any questions that you might have. In terms of the lineup, Jerry Brownlee remains at number three. What I'd say is the work in Christchurch in relation to the earthquake is progressing well, and I feel now is the time for Jerry to resume some other ministerial responsibilities. He's picking up transport from Stephen Joyce, which is a big portfolio from our perspective. He's also taking a newly created position in relation to EQC. What we want to do is reflect on the experiences and learnings of the last 12 to 15 months and to revamp EQC. It's quite clear from the recent Christchurch earthquakes that the structure is not the most efficient one that we can have. New Zealanders need, I think, a better structure, and we'll be asking Jerry to work alongside Bill English to achieve that. Amy Adams comes in to Cabinet, as you'll have seen, at number 20, reflecting a very stellar performance in the first 3 years in Parliament. And she's going to be Jerry Brownlee's associate, so I'd be anticipating she'll spend quite a lot of time on the ground in Christchurch helping with that rebuild. The big jump in terms of Cabinet rankings is Stephen Joyce to number four. I think that reflects the reality of what's been a tremendous first term by Stephen Joyce. He also picks up a big area of focus for us, and that is how we can lift economic performance. So we've put together a portfolio that we think can lift overall growth and competitiveness of the economy. We know there's a close link between innovation and economic performance. So he has the portfolios of economic development, of science and innovation, and of tertiary skills and employment, coupled with associate finance. So if you think about our finance team, it's really Bill English as Minister of Finance and Stephen Joyce taking the innovation side of the economy. At number five, Judith Collins moves up from number seven. She's taking over the work that Simon Power did such a great job of over the last 3 years in justice. She's also taking ACC, where we want to bank the gains of the last 3 years, but there's more work to be done there in both of those portfolios. Tony Ryle is at number six. He continues to look after health for us, where he did a tremendous job over the last 3 years, but is going to be responsible for SOEs, which he was the latter part after, after Simon Power announced he was leaving Parliament. The reason for that is it reflects the importance of having a senior minister to guide the mixed ownership model through and the importance of that work programme. You'll note that number seven, Hekia Parata, picks up the very important portfolio of education. Hekia has a real passion for education. She has historical skills in that area when she worked in part of the bureaucracy. I think she's going to be a stellar Minister of Education. And I think she'll make great gains in that area. Paula Bennett's coming onto the front bench. She'll be the Minister responsible for social development, the Minister responsible for the revamp of the welfare system. David Carter has very increased responsibilities in a new portfolio of primary industries. Effectively, we're bringing together all of the logical primary industries, whether it's agriculture, forestry, aquaculture and fisheries and biosecurity, and he'll be assisted by Nathan Guy, who's also coming into Cabinet. Anne Tolley takes up the responsibilities previously held by Judith Collins. She'll be responsible for police and corrections, but is also Jerry Brownlee's deputy as the leader of the House. In terms of new ministers that have come in, Nathan Guy, Craig Foss and Amy Adams are the three new ministers that have come into Cabinet, and outside of Cabinet the whips have been promoted, Chris Tremaine, Joe Gilkew and Chester Burrows picking up responsibility there. Can I just finally make one other last comment? That's in relation to some of the thinking we were doing around the ministries. Firstly, we did want to freshen the front bench, and I think we've done that, as you'll see by the lineup. But we also wanted to use the opportunity to trim a number of the portfolios on the back of the advice that we got, both from our experiences but also the Cabinet Office, where we thought some of them just weren't required as an individual portfolio in their own right. Rugby World Cup, there's still some legacy responsibilities, but that gets folded into sport and recreation. Infrastructure's been folded back into finance now that that long-term 20-year program has been established. The Education Review Office is going into education. Archives and National Library going into internal affairs. Disarmament going into foreign affairs, and of course that big conglomerate of primary industries. So that's really the basis behind our thinking, and I'm happy to take questions.
Why have you removed entirely from the education?
Well, it doesn't reflect that I think she hasn't done a good job. I think she's done a great job in education, but I believe that Hekia has a real passion in that area. I want it's a tough portfolio when you're the National Minister, and so I want to have some new and fresh energy there. And I think Hekia will bring an important perspective to that with her historical work. We're also marrying it up with the Minister of Pacific Islands Affairs, and as we know, where there are areas of underachievement, it more often than not is with Pacific and Maori people, and I think Hekia will bring real energy there.
Why does Nick Smith go backwards?
It's not a reflection of his work. I think he did a tremendous job over the last 3 years, but I do want to freshen the front bench, and in the end, there's only so many people you can fit into nine or ten spots. I took this opportunity to say, look, there are a number of people who've done a great job over the last 3 years, and this was the opportunity to freshen that up.
Was he disappointed?
Look, everyone would rather be higher, but he's very pleased to be in Cabinet. He's got a big workload. Local government is an important addition for him. He'll do some great work there, because it's one thing for the government at the central government level to reform legislation. The application and administration of that legislation is often in the hands of local government, so I think that's very important.
Jerry Brownlee sort of retains a big workload, but he's also leading the House.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, given he's got the one vote majority to legislation, obviously managing the House is probably more important. Did you think about whether he should have less workload or shifting that position somewhere else?
We thought very carefully about his workload, because he still has a lot of responsibility in terms of the Canterbury rebuild, and we're very committed to that. But we took the decision that Amy Adams can pick up quite a bit of on-the-ground responsibility, and with Roger Sutton's appointment at CERA, we're in a position now where more of that responsibility is being devolved on the ground. So I felt it was time to bring Jerry back into the fold, if you like, and give him those more responsibilities in Wellington. He's very interested in transport, and you're right, Leader of the House is quite critical, but he does that role very well, and he's had 3 years' experience there.
You didn't feel necessary to bring in some new fresh blood outside Cabinet in terms of Maurice Williamson? Did Maurice respond to it?
Look, Maurice did a great job over the last 3 years. It's really hard to point to him where he's put a foot wrong over the last 3 years. And if he hadn't done a good job, I wouldn't have retained him in the responsibility that I did. But I really looked at his performance and said, we're running a meritocracy here, and he's done a great job.
Why has employment been removed from responsible for
job relations,
though?
Yeah, good question. So the bit that she retains the employment capacity around the placement of people, so that's a big function, obviously, for work and income. But the analysis of labour markets, which is provided by the Department of Labour and has historically gone to the Minister of Social Development, we're now moving to Stephen Joyce, because we think that fits much more neatly with tertiary and skills. So what we're really saying is, look, if we want to grow the economy at the level we want, we've got to integrate tertiary skills and employment analysis through with the other parts of this portfolio, which clearly economic development and science and innovation. So we thought it was a more logical fit.
So do you think there was an area in which you hadn't performed that well in terms of creating jobs?
No, it was nothing to do with her performance, but it was about where we saw the logical split. And that was really, what we tried to do here was create a couple of very grunty portfolios where we know, like everybody else, that we're going to be measured in 3 years' time on our results. And that's the focus of attention, that's the message that I'll be giving ministers, when we sit down and have our first cabinet meeting on Wednesday afternoon, we're here to deliver results for New Zealanders. And this lineup, in my view, will both deliver those results and also the portfolios and the way they're structured will help deliver those results.
Prime Minister, back to Maurice Williamson. Yeah. Christchurch rebuild, obviously, for part of the building and housing, very critical, and also in terms of leaky homes, there has been a lack of progress over the last 3 years in that. You say that it's a meritocracy, and that would imply that he would have been promoted had he been considered.
No, what it says is, I think we did a great job around leaky homes. I mean, we inherited a position where the previous government had really abdicated their responsibilities, in my view. And so we came up with a package which was in the order of $1 billion, is a genuine package where New Zealanders with a leaky home can look to the government for a quarter of their costs and local government for a quarter and can get on and rebuild their home. So I think you did a great job there.
Take up of that package has been very, very slow. I mean, the question really is his portfolio, shouldn't that be central to the next 3 years' term if there's $20 billion going to be built in Christchurch?
Yes, but the responsibility is there primarily rests with Gerry Brown and Amy Evans.
Overall, the cabinet looks and retains the same sort of feeling in many of the new people. We've got a big corpus. How are you going to make sure that the new blood is brought in and that your cabinet doesn't get stale?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is the look and feel is a bit different. We can quite argue it's the same if you look at the makeup, particularly the front bench. I was lucky in one sense that because there were retirements in the last parliament, that opened up a number of spots for us, so we've taken those opportunities. Secondly, when we came into government in 2008, 14 of the 20 ministers were new. So we didn't have a position where ministers had been around a long time. And I looked at the performance of the 17 ministers that carried over from the last parliament to this one, and thought that their performance was good, and actually they'd learnt a lot in 3 years, and it was important to try and continue to harness those skills. But you're right, we're a caucus that has a lot of talent. And I think it's fair to say we're working with those members of our caucus to make sure that they are on the right track. There will be changes over time, inevitably there always are, and there will be promotions for others that aren't formally part of the executive, and they over time will be transitioning into the executive if and when those opportunities present themselves.
So will you have a reshuffle?
Well, I haven't categorically ruled that out. I really pretty much did in the last parliament. So it's possible that there would be one, but I wouldn't bet the ranch on it. I'm not a great fan of reshuffles. Sometimes are forced upon you, but as a general rule, they create more heartache for you than they resolve. But I won't completely rule it out. But yeah,
you've got 28 ministers overall. Is that too many?
It reflects the same size of the executive in the last parliament and the one before that with Helen Clark. I mean, the reality of MMP is it drives a slightly larger executive. And that is a function of the situation that you are working with political parties who provide support to you and confidence and supply. Being a minister is important to them, both in terms of their own kind of mana and responsibility, but resourcing. And so just the nature of MMP, I think, will continue to drive these slightly larger executives.
What's your thinking behind
getting
Chris
Tomlinson or Social Minority Affairs? Yeah, an important decision from our point of view. He did great work in terms of treaty settlement, really got that process going well. We want to have someone inside Cabinet with that responsibility because, of course, Minority Affairs is held by Peter Sharples. And so I thought it was a logical fit with the work he's doing in treaty settlements to have him as Social Minority Affairs. And he's very excited by that opportunity.
Can we assume that Lachlan Smith's your nomination for Speaker?
Yes. Okay.
Will he go to London in the next 3 years?
Not going to rule that out. A final decision hasn't been made, but that's a possibility.
When does that position become open?
London?
Yes.
For the best of my knowledge, somewhere in between the next sort of 8 months or so, 12 months or so, that's sort of important magnitude.
So you'll make a decision next year?
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Something slightly different. MMP, the review, have you set a timetable for that?
I haven't. I mean, that'll be a matter probably for the Minister of Justice. I guess it'll flow through her portfolio now, so we'll have some discussions with her.
But it'll be likely to
be next
year.
Oh, next year.
The timetable,
you've been
on it
rather than
the next
week or so. Yes, next year. It's pretty consolidated period next week. It's quite tricky. There's a lot to get through.
So, Prime Minister, just a slight change of subject. Yep. David accused one of your ministers, and indeed your government, of cover-up regarding the alcohol public attitude. So maybe a reaction to that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I haven't had any discussions with Peter Dunn about that. I haven't seen the report that was in the TV3 story last night. I literally just saw the TV coverage of that. And on face value, I mean, the explanation it gave, which is all of that information was largely in the public domain through lots of other work that had been done, sounds logical to me. In fact, Parliament is moving, in my view, to basically strengthen up and change alcohol law, which is a move from 20 years ago. The last 20 years it's been very much liberalisation. So I'm comfortable with the decision he's made on the face of it, and don't see any particular reason for alarm.
Will you look into it any further?
Oh, look, I might ask him about just out of sheer interest, but I don't think there was anything in terms of the data that I saw presented last night that was terribly unique. It's one survey that presents a few ideas. Yeah, generally speaking, the message from New Zealanders has been they want to see change when it comes to alcohol law reform. We're picking up about 132 of the recommendations from the Law Commission, and I think that is Parliament reflecting the wishes of New Zealanders.
With Coleman and Joyce as your Associate Ministers of Finance, are you able to say what responsibilities they'll each have under those banners?
Yes, so Jonathan Coleman's picking up Associate Finance because he's also picking up Minister of State Services. And that's a very important area where if we don't get that right, then we have other issues in terms of our overall economic management. So that's why Jonathan's there, and I think he'll do a good job. He's very bright.
One of your oldest, I think, Power had overseas.
He is Associate Finance before Power. Yeah.
So basically, are his responsibilities Coleman's now?
Those delegations haven't been determined yet, so we'll need to talk to the Minister of Finance about what delegations he wants to give to which associates, but we'll make those decisions.
And so is Coleman Associate Minister of Finance because of the State Services?
Because of State Services.
Does he have much of an idea about finance?
Yeah, well, if you think about... Yeah,
I don't word that very well.
Yeah, that's right. He'll be mortally offended if he ever watches this press conference, but don't worry, he'll get over it like all of us. Basically, the story with him is, look, he's a very bright guy. He came to Parliament not only as a medical doctor, but he'd been a consultant. He worked for one of the PwC, actually, as a consultant. So he's got quite a financial background as well, and he's interested in those finance sides. So he's got a nice mix of portfolios. He's Minister of Defence, where there's a lot of work to be done in terms of the implementation of the white paper, but he's also got this economic angle.
You said that education was a difficult portfolio for a national minister. Why is that?
Oh, because typically the education unions are quite vocal. They resist change, and we're a government that wants change because we think that the education system, while it works well for a lot of New Zealanders, is still failing too large a group. And I think as a government, if you're serious about lifting performance and opportunity, you in the end have to ask the hard questions: why are so many kids being failed by the system? And I think that requires you to do some different things. National standards is one, charter schools is another, there's lots of other things. We're doing this work around Kuras and Kāinga Reo. There's a lot of work to be done, and I think bringing a fresh pair of eyes to the job's important.
Prime Minister, now that there is to be a second commitment period to the Kyoto Protocol, do you expect that New Zealand will be party to it or will undertake commitments under it?
I think we would, but that would depend, of course, on the conditions that are met. I mean, we set a number of conditions around our target, and we also set those conditions quite contingent on other countries joining us in terms of what obligations they would abide by. So providing those conditions are met, the answer is yes. I've had a number of discussions with Tim Grosser over the weekend. He thinks progress is being made. But I think it's plain for everyone to see that with the economic conditions being very challenging, particularly in the United States and to a lesser degree in Europe, that is causing some degree of trepidation, at least by those leaders.
Have you told any of the ministers that they could expect this to be the last time that they were doing
this? Well, look, there are always likely to be some that will come and go just because of their own choices at the end of 2014. That happened at the end of 2011. I was a bit surprised by the ones that decided to go, but nevertheless, that's there. So inevitably, there's bound to be a few retirements in 2014. But to all of the ministers, I've said the same thing. Look, over the next 3 years, we've got a big agenda of work to achieve. We need to deliver results. and I'm not guaranteeing anybody being back in Cabinet in 2014 if we're the government in 3 years' time.
Did you sit down and do a performance review of each of them before you reallocate portfolios?
I typically do those in February, so we sit down and talk about the work the year ahead and where I think things are working and where they're not. With some ministers, I had discussions with them prior to the election, but it's been my intention to sit down and have those discussions with every minister in February, and late January and February, and also there are discussions we also have with people that are moving, you know, through the process. Well, I mean, there are some people who are clearly not in Cabinet, but you could identify them and speculate about them. They are on the right track, and over time they're going to get there. It's just a question of us having that time.
Can you give us any feedback on discussions with the Green Party thus far?
We haven't had any yet, but I'd like to do that when I can. I mean, my main priority obviously has been with United Act and the Māori Party, and also putting together the Cabinet, but at some point we'll have those discussions.
Do you anticipate another memorandum of understanding? Right.
It's early days yet, so I wouldn't want to characterise that yet, but that's certainly the basis of having those discussions, to see whether that's possible. But we'll need to have those discussions.
Does that feed into committee chair roles and so forth?
It may be driven slightly. Select committee chairs are somewhat, you know, that's the leader of the House, but somewhat driven by a number of factors, not only just size may dominate that they get more of those, but that's some discussions we can
have. Have you set any dates or timing for Parliament coming back next year?
So you know we're coming back on the 20th, obviously, for the Commission opening and the 21st for Speech from the Throne. There was some discussion that we would come back in the last week of January, but the Leader of the House thinks that's unlikely now, and so we'll come back after Waitangi Day, and whether that sort of first logical week that is.
Are you going to make it clear who you'd like to be with?
Well, we always have one or two people in our minds, but of course that's a matter for caucus to decide.
PPTA is gifting you a book each day until Christmas.
That's nice of them. I could give them a recommendation of someone. If they could give me one about my golf game, that would be useful, because I'll read that over Christmas.
Will you read them?
Not all the ones they're going to send me. I've got a few on my list already. Okay, thanks very much. See you later.